Previously on Atherplay.
The Fellowship has begun a long journey across Middle-earth. Their destination is the realm of Mirkwood, Alurina's home, where some vague danger may be waiting for them. The first leg of this trek has led them into the lone lands of Arnor, a wild, dangerous, and wraith-haunted expanse. As they near the ice bay of Forakel, the weather takes a turn, and the first flurries of autumn snow begin to fall. But that is not their only exposure to the wild north. Atop a hill, the Fellowship sees two figures astride a massive wolf. They are from the Lasoth people, the denizens of the frozen and inhospitable expanses. That night, Alurina and Hildegard take watch while the rest of the party rests, when they suddenly hear a voice on the chill wind crying for help. Unwilling to ignore a cry for aid, Alurina goes running off to find the source, leaving Hildegard and the others scrambling to follow. Tracing the cries to a bowl-like depression beneath a ring of hills, Kael urges caution. This situation reminds them of tales about a creature called a Bone Hoarder, a fell monster which lures its victims into its trap with calls for help. Kael, Morinor, and Mionwe enter the depression, seeking to destroy the creature before it can grow. Ignoring their urgings to return to camp, Alurina and Hildegard hide at the top of the hills to watch the fight, only to be suddenly ambushed themselves by the Bone Hoarder, wearing the towering body of a half-decomposed moose. Well met, friends, and welcome to Atherplay, an actual play podcast exploring the lesser-trod paths of Tolkien's Legendarium through role-playing games. I am James Kaku Pearson, your host and lore master. Now that we're even closer, I wanted to remind you again that Oxenmoot 2025 is coming up at the beginning of September. This is the Tolkien Society's annual gathering in Oxford. Several members of the Atherplay cast will be there in person this year, and I am very pleased to announce that our sister show, Atherbeth, will be doing a very special live episode. Along with special guests, Doctors Sarah Brown and Christine Larson, Jude and Steph will be looking at Tolkien's try-hard troublemakers, the overachievers in the Legendarium who made everything just that little bit worse. It's going to be a great show. If you're attending in person or online, it will be at 11 a.m. UK time on Saturday, September 6th. And for those not able to make it, you can catch it on the Atherbeth podcast feed on the first Wednesday in October. If you're interested in attending, you can find more info at oxenmoot.org. Atherplay tells a continuing story, and while not all who wander are lost, if you haven't listened from the beginning, I suggest you start there. We'll still be here when you get back. And a reminder, this podcast is a work of fan fiction. All rights belong to their respective rights holders. Now, we have many paths to tread, and the darkness is rising. Alurina and Hildegard. There is a crashing sound of brush and bushes being knocked aside as something moves quickly through the plants towards you. In the darkness, you're not able to see it, but there's a little bit of light coming up from the torches that Morinor, Nionwe, and Kael are holding down in the gully below you as they're investigating where the voice that had been crying out to you had been coming from. In the flicker of the torchlight coming up to you from them, you have a moment
to see this creature as it emerges charging at you from the darkness. It is enormous. Bigger than your horses, since you were both crouching on the ground, it towers above the two of you. And you can see in the flicker of torchlight from below the wetness of its partially decomposed body. This creature is a half-rotten, half-decomposed moose. Its ribs, the bones of half of its skull exposed where the flesh has rotted away. One of its antlers is broken off just above its head. The other one stretches out and scratches the trees as it comes through, charging at you. You have enough time to do one thing before this thing will bear down on you. So, Alarina and Hildegard, what do you do?
Would you say that it's a moist murder moose?
No.
It is now.
The bone moose revisited.
A string of cuss words in Sindarin, and I would immediately pull out my shield and try and get in front of Hildy, like in a protective stance.
At the same time as you're doing that, Hildegard has taken out her hammer and jumped in front of Alarina. But is standing there, like, holding it, like, as a shield. Like, please don't make me use this thing.
And they just, like, bump into each other and just...
And you just hear, like, a...
There is, yeah, I think there's definitely a moment of jostling where the two of you are both trying to shield each other. But I'm going to say, Hildegard, you managed to get in front of Alarina. And Alarina, you're standing above Hildegard. So you're technically both in front at this point. But Hildegard is definitely in front of you, Alarina. From down in the gully below, Morinor, Nionwe, and Kael, you hear this crashing of an animal moving through the brush. You hear the sound of its voice echoing out from above you, the half cry of an animal and the half voice calling out for help. And you hear then a string of Sindarin curse words in Ellerina's voice coming from the bank above the gully that the three of you are in. What do the three of you do?
Ah, crap. I think Morinor just immediately turns around and goes up the ridge back towards the camp.
Morinor, you're the first one to react, and you move towards the sound of the voices. I mentioned before that the area that you were in is a gully between a couple of hills, but it was rounded out. It almost felt as you were entering it like it was an arena with these high banked sides that are... You know that thing that happens sometimes near rivers where the river has like eroded the bank out and it's like a sheer drop? It's like 5 or 6 feet down. The banks all around you in this arena-like space are sheer and cut off like that. And as you go to climb up the bank, you reach up and you put your hand in the turf. You try to pull yourself up with your arms. The ground of the top of the bank above you gives way. It's very soft. And you have this sudden feeling like somebody has set this up to make it harder to climb out of this area. Like this is a trap that you're in the middle of. So it's going to take some, it's going to be a little difficult to get out of this space. Nyonwe, Kael, what do you two do?
Please remind me, I left my Dairos at the camp, right? I didn't.
Right. Yeah.
That's unfortunate. I am going to call. I have no idea. We haven't really defined the parameters of my relationship with this animal. We have not DTR'd my Dairos, but I'm gonna guess if it followed me several thousand miles, if I shout, it will probably come running.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to whistle a very high-pitched, piercing whistle.
Mm-hmm.
And then I am going to sprint up across the snow, up the hill, to get up the ridge, to get a view of what's going on, and to try and get into a line of sight on what's happening up there.
So you let out this whistle, which reverberates off of the trees and off of the walls of the gully around you, but you know is loud enough that your Dairos would be able to hear it back at the camp. And then as you go to spring... like to clamber up the walls, you find the exact same thing. All of the walls all around you, even though you're trying to climb an area that's different from where Morinor is trying to climb, the ground crumbles as you try to climb up, even with your light elvish dexterity. Again, suggesting that this space has been set up to prevent those down in it from easily being able to climb up. So you're going to need, it's going to take a little bit of work for you to get out of this space as well.
Hmm.
Kael.
Is it the same height up all the way around?
It's not exactly the same height. The lowest points of the bank are about 6 feet high, up to 8 or 10 feet at different points. It does seem like it was an organic area that has been manipulated into this trap, but there's no place that's shorter than about 6 feet in this bank.
And how soft is the earth? Like to climb, like on the walls.
Oh, like if you're trying to get like a foothold in there? It's doable, but it is crumbling. Basically, I think what it's going to require for all three of you to climb out is some kind of roll to get out of the space.
Like if I were to take a running start and use my sword as like a way to try to hoist myself up over at the lowest point, I'm like almost 6 feet tall. Mm-hmm. So if the top one is 6 feet tall, then it should be like a one and then throw myself over if I can.
I think that that's absolutely doable. So yeah, I think for the three of you to get out, any skill that you think makes sense would be fine. I think for Kael, because you've got the sword and the reach, that move, I would say you can roll favored on whatever skill you want to use.
This sounds like that athletics roll, so I'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't quite make it. I'm one short.
Okay.
I definitely succeed. That's like a 20.
I will use athletics as well. Yeah, I can't think of any way to shenanigans that. So by one. Sweet.
Okay. The three of you go running for the banks. Mornor, you're heading straight towards where you hear Ellarina and Hildegard. Neonwe, I think you probably would just go up the nearest place because you want some distance so you can use your bow, right?
Yep.
And then Kael, where exactly were you trying to climb up? Near Ellarina, Mornor, somewhere else? Where were you trying to go up?
I was trying to find where I don't know where the shortest part of the wall is. I would try to find one I don't know if it's like uneven, it goes up and down, but I tried to find the shortest that's nearest to where I can hear them.
So Mornor, you are the closest to Hildi and Ellarina, but you're still trying to struggle. You're like scrabbling, trying to get up the wall. Neonwe, you have to like take a couple tries, but you manage to bound your way up onto the bank. You're basically directly across this gully from them.
Okay.
But you can now see this creature harassing Ellarina and Hildegard. And Kael, you managed to, like, you throw your sword in, you climb up. You're maybe 50 feet away. You can probably close with this creature pretty soon, but you're definitely not right there and engaged in combat. I think at this point, we'll drop into combat, but Ellarina and Hildegard are the only ones who are engaged in close combat this round. So what combat stances do folks want to use?
Forward.
Stressing me out.
Rearward stance.
Okay.
I'll be in forward for now.
Okay.
I'll be in defensive once I get up there.
Yeah, I also want to go defensive, but I kind of want to like battle Hildi in that I'm trying to protect her while she's trying to get closer to the moist murder moose.
I want to protect you from the moist murder moose.
That's awful. God awful.
You're welcome.
Thanks, dude.
All right. Kael, even though you're in forward stance, I think it's going to basically take this turn to get you to the point where you're engaged. So unless you want to try and make a ranged attack, pretty much the...
I don't have my bow with me.
Okay.
Like, I would say that probably we, like, hauled ass out of there. I only sleep with my sword with me, so I just grabbed and ran. That's my reasoning.
Yeah. So you start sprinting across the top of these hills to try and get to Ellarina and Hildegard. You'll get there next turn. In that case, it is Hildi's turn.
Cool. So do I make an awe roll then to intimidate my foe?
You may. You're doing the intimidate foe move.
If I'm reading the combat tasks right, it looks like that's what I need to do.
Yes.
I have nothing in awe.
Okay.
Or I am just a wee hobbit.
Well, then roll 1d12.
With a big hammer.
Yeah, with a big
hammer.
We're
going to have some roaring lessons after this.
Yeah.
How to be scary.
Okay. I have rolled a 9, which is exactly half of my TN. So I fail. So I say, just like, Ellarina, you may remember this from when I was fighting a badger when you first met me, but I've got my little hammer, which I can barely hold correctly. And I say, you get out of here, you! Go on, shoo! And I just kind of like I'm swatting a fly. Just going like this wildly.
I get a little deja vu of like easier, happier days when there wasn't a fear that we were running from danger.
Yep.
Badger shouting voice.
So yeah, you shout at this moose. It doesn't react in any way. It just continues to charge at you. Even as you're like swinging your hammer back and forth in the air in front of you, it's just continuing to charge at the two of you.
I want to try protect companion.
Okay.
Sounds confident.
Oh, I missed it by one.
Mm.
Failed.
Honestly, it's better that you both fail at this. I feel like it's really appropriate that you're both attempting to protect the other and neither of you are succeeding.
You're right.
You try to protect Hildegard. You try to get your shield
arm. I'm trying
to
get my shield in front of her and she's just like swinging the hammer so much that I'm also trying to like dodge her hammer while trying to get in front of her to protect her.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's not going well. It's for the two of you are both kind of flailing around crazily as this thing continues to charge you down.
Well, we were taken by surprise, weren't we? We're not in battle formation, so.
Morinor, what are you doing?
I'm still trying to get out of this hole.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of anything to give you advantage to get out of the hole?
I mean, I also have a sword, so I could see Kyle do it and try to.
Yep. Yeah, so if you're going to do the same thing, go ahead and roll favored.
Yeah, neither Morinor nor Kale skip arm day, so we're like.
I succeed this time. I'm out of the hole.
Excellent. Yay! So yeah, you jump. Seeing Kyle's move, you do the same thing. You jump. You drive your sword to the hilt in the ground and use it as a handle to lever yourself up. So you are now at the top of the bank. You're the closest. You'll be able to fight this creature next turn.
Now that I'm up on the ridge, the opposite ridge, I have a view of this thing.
Especially now that Morinor and Kyle have both made their way out of the pit, their torches are near enough that the firelight is able to illuminate this thing. You can see it.
Okay, so it's gooey, but also bony.
Yep.
Neither of those things burn good, so there's no point in trying to do like a fire arrow situation. What are the odds an arrow's gonna fucking do anything? Okay, he takes an arrow from his quiver and holds it up to the moon very briefly.
Mm-hmm.
And says very quiet to himself, like not out loud, very privately says, "If you're listening, I could use an assist on this one." And then draws back and fires at the moose. Let's see what we get here. I mean, I hit my target number. Does that count for anything?
Well, let's see.
Let me rephrase that. I hit my target number even though I rolled an Eye of Sauron. Does that count for anything?
Mm, wow.
I was hoping for something more dramatic with all those dice, but...
How much damage?
The damage on that is 3.
Okay. I'm going to give you a choice. I will say you can do two things. You can either do the damage, or you can have an effect but not do any damage. Which would you prefer?
Ooh. I'll have an effect. I don't think the amount of damage I can do here is going to make a difference. But if it's a useful effect, okay, I'll take that.
So you hold this arrow up to the moon, and you mutter a little prayer. And in that moment, you think you hear a tinkle of a silver bell from underneath your breastplate near your heart. And you knock the arrow, you fire, and Hildegard, Ellerina, the two of you are struggling to defend each other. You are pushing back and forth, jostling. This moose is charging at you at a full run. And there is a flash of silver and the sound of an arrow striking bone. And you have just a moment to see Nionwe's arrow strike the knee joint of the moose's front leg, and there's a pop. The leg goes out from underneath it. Instead of running the two of you down, it falls and skids in the ground, coming to a stop just maybe a few feet away from the two of you. But though it took this fall, it immediately begins to struggle back up to its feet with its remaining legs, and you see the arrow working its way out of the joint as it continues to grind bone on bone.
That's all right. It's saved those two from getting trampled. Nionwe does a, like, you know, big ups to Orome and knocks another arrow and gets ready for another shot.
Now it is the Moist Murder Moose's turn. Okay.
Moist Murder Moose.
So, going forward, I have a new talent. So, when an adversary spends hate or resolve to activate a fel ability, I want to know if that's happening.
Oh, okay. Because
I can maybe do something about it.
Absolutely. Well, it's going to. It's going to make... So the moose struggles back up to its feet on first three legs, but then you see it begin to move that injured leg again. And it's looming over Ellarina and Hildegard, and it swings its head down to attack with its one unbroken antler. So, Hildegard, this attack's coming at you because you're in front.
That's fair.
Oh, no.
So this is just an attack, though, yeah?
This is just a standard attack. It's not spending any hate yet.
Yet.
Does an 18 hit your target, hit your parry?
Meets it, beats it, right? Yes.
Okay.
That is my parry.
And I got one of these sixes has a Tengwar.
Uh-oh.
Which I'm going to spend. So Hildegard, this moose sweeps its head down and strikes you with its unbroken antler. You're going to take 4 endurance damage from this hit. And additionally, I'm going to spend Tengwar to essentially do a shield thrust. Even though it's not carrying a shield, this massive bony antler plate is definitely enough for it to do a shield thrust. As it strikes you, because you are so small and it is so big, not only do you feel the pain of this antler striking you, but you are lifted off your feet and thrown. Ellarina, Morinor, you see Hildegard basically get yeeted out of in front of Ellarina, and she slams into a tree and drops to the ground. Hildegard, you're not unconscious, but like the wind is totally knocked out of you and you are in a heap on the ground.
I'm stressed.
On the wind, you hear Neonwe cursing and something about, whose dumb idea was it to bring a hobbit on this adventure?
Oh, no. Manners, Neonwe!
At this point, the moose is going to try and spend a hate to do a second attack. Morinor, what's your talent?
I now have the virtue Might of the Firstborn. Ooh. When an adversary spends a hate, basically, I can spend a hope to cancel it out.
Mm.
So I'm going to do that.
Okay.
That's dope.
James's face. Fuck you.
What this looks like is Morinor has lagged behind, gotten up from the pit, and is running forward, sees Hildego flying, and just kind of instinctively swings her shield around, which in her Balrog form is a bracer for the whips. Mm-hmm. So I think briefly those whips manifest and like wrap around its horn and yank it back.
Ooh.
That's sexy.
Cool.
It kind of just slaps its head down so it can't attack again. Like, no. And I think Morinor's a bit surprised about it, but maybe since she's that form has happened once, it's a little looser now, so she can kind of use it partially.
Yeah, I think Ellarina, you're standing there, you see Hildegard get flung away from you, and the moose then brings its head back to try and gore you. And at the same time, you don't see the whips, but there is a suggestion of tendrils of smoke and fire that suddenly lash onto the antler and haul it back. And in that moment, you see the smoke and fire leads back to Morinor's wrist and then dissipates. But the moose is like off balance and isn't able to do that second attack on you.
Yeah, that's right. No more of that.
Hot as shit.
Hot shit.
Literal hot shit.
So we are now back up to the top of the round. Does anybody want to change their stances?
I would like to go into forward stance.
Okay.
Still defensive.
By the way, Hildegard, in addition to being knocked back and having the wind knocked out of you, you also lose 1d6 to all rolls this round because of being knocked back.
I also would like to go to a different stance, perhaps defensive, if you will.
Okay.
Or lying down, is that a stance?
I enter resting stance.
Taking a little break.
I enter EP stance.
So seeing that it's like seeing it get pulled by the antler, I'm going to say that probably like the antler, like if I'm coming at it, my goal would have wanted to be to get in front of Ellarina and Hildegard to defend them, or at least to draw its attention to me. So when Morinor's whips grab the antler and kind of jerk its head that way, I'm going to say that that's probably the first part of its body that's going to get to me. And I'm going to try to cleave off the antler after seeing it yeet Hildegard. So I'm going to try to slice it off.
Give me an attack. This thing does not have any parry, so there's no bonus to its parry.
Okay, so that's a lot of dice. Hey, that's a 22.
Okay. The moose begins to pull its head back. You swing the sword down and you take off a pretty sizable chunk of the antler. But I feel like because it wasn't a piercing blow, just a regular blow, I don't think you're able to fully cleave the antler completely off. But about half of it, one of the big branches of it, snaps off under your blade and tumbles into the dirt at the creature's feet. It also staggers backwards, the impact rattling this thing's skull. It definitely had effect, it just hasn't completely taken the antler off.
And then I'm gonna snarl at it. I want it to pay attention to me and not Ellerina.
Give me an awe roll. It's not an intimidate foe move, but yeah. give me a roll to try and get this thing's attention. Because it is most certainly still focused on Ellerina, despite the others of you having approached.
It's a 12 on my D12.
Okay. That's a Gandalf.
28. I have 3d6 in the awe, and then it's a 12. Damn. Oh, I rolled 2 sixes too, in case you need to see that. So that's
oh my
two.
Damn.
Right? And a Gandalf damn. Rune.
Yeah.
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 It's awesome.
Monster to monster, let's go.
Yeah, you snarl at this thing, and you were trying to just get it to focus on you, but you actually see, like, you take the chunk out of the antler, you basically, like, square off with it and snarl at this creature, and you expect to see it focus its anger and wrath on you. You're trying to basically tank this creature, but you see it actually flinch back from you as you bellow at it. So it may not be focused on you, but it's scared of you, for sure.
That's right, piss yourself.
Mornor.
I think Mornor's just going to run in and attack it.
Okay.
So I'm going to roll sword. Well, I succeed with a Tangwar, but it's not a piercing blow.
Okay.
What do I get to spend Tangwars on?
So heavy blow, fend off, or shield thrust are the ones that you can do with your weapons.
I'll do shield thrust.
You're going to yeet the rotten meat.
Yeah. So oh. I think Mornor comes in and she's behind it since it's charging and kind of does a running slide to cut at its leg and then smack her shield into its stomach to like knock it over and to the side. So it's not aiming at Ellerina and Hildy anymore.
That is super cool. As you slide beneath this creature, you slice the leg and then you bring your shield up to bash this thing in the stomach. But as you were sliding underneath the thing's chest, you see that its ribs are exposed. Like the underside of its chest, where the sternum would be, is missing. Similar to the body that you found down in the gully. The sternum is gone and the ribs end in these jagged points. As you bring your shield up and slam it into the creature's stomach and push it away, for just a moment, from the darkness inside the thing's chest cavity, you see three eyes look at you. Give me a shadow roll.
I really hate zombies, so this thing and the dwarven other meat monster, gagging the whole time.
No.
Give me a shadow roll against with valor against your heart target number.
All right.
It's not the kind of information you generally want to give James.
Just kidding, James. You heard nothing.
So I just have a die for whatever my valor rating is, right?
Yes. Yeah, so 1d12 plus 1d6 against your heart target number.
Can I spend hope to increase it?
You can.
Can I be inspired on it since I have shadow lore?
I don't think... So if you recall the last time, I think you made a lore roll to try and figure out what this thing was, but you didn't know enough about this creature to know about it, so I don't think I can give you that.
Okay.
Didn't I tell them, though?
Yes, but I don't think you provided enough detail to rationalize what she's seeing. Yeah.
I would have
been like, yeah, there might be a baby monster inside the corpse. Be prepared for that.
Well, I think the thing is, Kyle, I don't think you knew either. Like, you knew that this thing, you knew about this thing being a creature that would try and get bones, but I don't think you knew from what you heard from your father enough specifics about it to provide the detail. So, Morno, you gain one additional shadow point, a dread shadow point, just as you're startled and scared by what you see. You were not expecting to see eyes peeking out of the chest cavity of this creature.
Yeah, I think Morinor definitely kind of doesn't do a follow-up blow because she's like, there's something in there.
I have a question.
Yeah.
As Morinor does that, as the tilts up, does Neonway get a shot? Is there like a clear shot into its belly as it gets tilted up?
I don't think that it's... Well, let's roll. No. It's not tilted up. It's more just shoved sideways because it was... Yeah.
That's too bad.
Good thinking, though. All right, now it's the folks who are in defensive stance. So that's Hildy and Ellerina. Who wants to go first?
Since she's going for a lay down approach, can I go first?
Yeah, fair. You've got this one.
I would like to run towards her against the tree that she was flung into, kind of like reach for her face, but then pull back and look into her eyes. Are you okay?
I think they're like looking in different directions. I've got little tiny Ellerina birds like doo 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 doo.
Trying to catch your eyes, I must say.
No,
that was very brave of you. Please do not do that again.
I will protect you after my head stops throbbing.
And then I'm just gonna take a stance in front of her.
I'm scared. Don't turn your back on the moose, like the sea. Never turn your back on the sea or the murder moose.
Ellerina, are you going to try to do another protect companion move, or are you just like just going to post up?
I'm going to try again for the protect companion and try and just like square up in front of Hildy sitting there.
All right. So give me another battle roll.
I rolled the exact same thing. No, I missed it by one.
So you check on Hildegard, you turn around and you're like, okay, this time I'm going to protect. And it's at that same moment that the moose is shoved sideways and toppling over. But as it regains its feet, it snaps its head back. It like gives one sort of wary glance towards Kael to know where the biggest threat it perceives is. But then it bonelessly snaps its head right at you and locks eyes with you with one missing eye and one cloudy eye. It locks on you and you feel your resolve weaken as you try to protect Hildy, but it's just a little bit too intimidating in that moment.
Oh, stars.
I'm so excited for the awful Foley James is going to add to this episode.
Yeah.
All the wet, meaty noises.
Just like the other time.
Chicken and just like squish it down.
Ew.
All right. Hildy.
So I would like to, because you said I hit a tree, that means that there's like a little bit of like scrubby stuff around. I am going to. So Hildegard's like, Ellerina is going to get herself killed trying to be in front of me. This is a terrible thing. I'm going to disappear. Just like that weird person at the potluck. I've been working on my stealth stuff. I'm stealthing away. Okay? I would like to use my art of disappearing stealth roll to get away from this. To disappear.
Okay.
Like Homer Simpson into the bush.
That's exactly what I was imagining.
Yeah, tell us what that talent does.
If it succeeds, Ellerina just like looks back and was like, motherfucker, where is Hildy?
I know! Yes. I'm sorry. Don't worry, I'm going to sneak up on it. This is going to be great. Art of disappearing. Hobbits are said to have little or no magic about them. Oh, hey! Jeez, book, cut me deep. But the way they can choose to disappear quickly and quietly can be described by others only as supernatural. You've learned to choose exactly the right moment to turn away from the attention of others, sometimes unconsciously anticipating the need to disappear. If a location or situation offers even the smallest opportunity to hide or sneak silently away, make a stealth roll. If you get one or more successes of the Tengwar icon, you can spend one to simply disappear.
Okay. Let's get a stealth roll. Okay? Let's see if you can Batman out of here.
Yeah. All right. This is the only thing I'm good at. Besides making cookies. Oh, no. Okay. So I did actually get a 6 with a 10 bar. So let's see, though. 5. Okay, yes, so I have succeeded with a Tengua. So can I just disappear? I'm not even there.
Yeah.
I'm gone.
So, Ellerina, you check on Hildy. You face off against the moose. You feel it, like, it snaps its head over you. You're intimidated. You take a step back as if, and you, like, go to, like, put your hand on Hildy to, like, be like, it's okay, I'm going to protect you. And she is gone.
So mean. Roll away from danger.
There's just a look of panic on her face.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry.
So, Hildy, you slip away and disappear into the brush.
Can I whisper from the brush? I'm fine. Eyes on the moose! Eyes on the moose!
You speak so well. I'm just like looking around, like, where is the voice coming from? Yeah. Now I'm just hearing Hildy's voice in my head.
Yep. Are you a ghost? Yeah, you hear her voice, but you definitely do not see her. Hildy, you have vanished. All right, Neonwe.
This thing is currently glaring down Ellerina. I don't know that there's a spooky eye monster inside of its guts,
nope.
Unfortunately. So I'm going to try and hit it in the head. My logic being that that will at least distract it from Ellerina.
Mm-hmm.
And if the impact knocks that horn, that antler off, all the better.
Sounds good. Give me a roll.
That's what I'm talking about. That's a Gandalf and a whole mess of numbers. Beat my target number like a dirty rug with a Gandalf. So that is going to trigger a piercing blow.
Okay. So I have a 3 armor against a target number 14.
Yeah, the injury rate is 14.
17.
It doesn't die immediately.
Yeah, you hit this thing in the head. The arrow pierces the skull of this thing. It is a strong, palpable hit. But that's when you begin to, like, you had been thinking, okay, it's a zombie moose. If we do enough damage to it, it's probably going to go down. But when you headshot this moose with this arrow, that's when you begin to think, okay, well, maybe it's not being controlled by the head. It takes the damage, but it's still, and it, like, staggers back, but it is still very much on its feet. How much damage did that do?
It does the basic 3, and I don't think Gandalfing it adds anything to that, unfortunately.
It does not. Yeah, it just gives you the piercing blow.
Yep.
Okay. It is now the creature's turn.
Oh, boy.
It is going to try to spend another hate.
I think if it's leading up with that, I'm going to spend another hope.
Okay.
To cancel one out.
All right.
I think this looks like is maybe Morinor grabbing onto one of the ribs, pulling herself under to look at the thing that's in there and be like, hello there.
No.
Knock, knock.
Like, distract it.
Give him the
yeah. You can feel that it's trying to do something. And because you're the one, you're down on the ground, you're close enough to this thing, you see wisps of darkness beginning to extrude, like begin almost like smoke, but more like ink and water begins to pour from this, from the cracked ribs of this creature. And that's when you drag yourself back and using your sort of innate magicality, you essentially counter whatever this thing is trying to do. The 3 eyes peer at you from the darkness, and you think it almost has a little bit of a surprised expression in those eyes, but then you feel the entire moose move and drag you along on the ground as you're hanging onto the ribs underneath it, and Ellerina, it is going to attack you.
Yay.
You are in defensive stance, so you gain... Oh, I lose a d6 to my attack against you. Oh, all right. So Ellerina, it swings its antler, its partially broken antler at you. Now that you're not having to worry about Hildy being directly behind you, you're able to sidestep, and it misses and gouges a chunk out of the tree behind you where Hildegard would have been a mere moment before.
Okay. I'll take that.
And I'm going to try to spend 1 more hate. I'm getting pretty low on my hate budget here, but I'm going to do a hate shootout with you, Morinor, if you're going to try and counter it.
I think it's going to happen this time because I need to preserve some of my hope.
Okay. So, after gouging out of the tree, you see the darkness begin to pour out of the chest of this thing again. And You climb, like, you don't want that stuff to touch you, so you climb out from underneath, or at least you slide yourself out from underneath the moose. The darkness pours down, and there's a moment where it billows on, like, smoke on the ground beneath you, and then there is a whoosh, like a whoosh of air, and all of your torches go out, and darkness falls all around you.
Don't like that.
Nope. I don't like it.
All right.
It is completely dark, and your eyes had been attuned to the light from the torches. So in that moment where all of the torches immediately are snuffed, everything goes completely black. You can hear the sound of the hooves of the moose moving. For all of you, the world just becomes sound as this creature is moving around in the darkness. Okay, so Ellarina, you go first.
So it's dark, so I can't see it anymore.
It's just that moment where your eyes were attuned to the light and suddenly the light goes out.
Yeah.
You as an elf maybe have a little bit better, but you're just as blinded as everybody else in this moment.
Okay, knowing it was like kind of staring me down, can I like hold my attack and have my spear in front of me with the hope that if it charges after me, it'll like charge into my spear?
Okay.
I'd like to do that.
Yeah.
With the tree protecting my backside so I know it can't come up to me from behind.
Yeah, good call. Yeah, you even brace the butt of the spear against the tree so it's like really firm, so if it charges at you, it's going to get it. Mornor.
Am I still touching it?
You are near, like, you think that you are near it. You can hear the sound of its feet, but you had to let go when it, remember when it dumped all that darkness, you had to let go or else it would have poured out onto you.
Yeah, I think Morinor is just going to go for blind stabs upward, trying to get in there.
Okay, give me an attack roll, but give it to me at ill-favored.
Okay, so d12 twice, taking the lower.
Taking the lower.
But I'm in forward stance, so I get an extra d6.
Extra d6.
I succeed with 2 tangwars.
Oh, dang. Oh. All right.
Can I do heavy blow twice?
You can.
I think I'm just going to do heavy blow twice to deal plus 10 damage.
Nice.
And my base damage is 5, so I'm dealing a total of 15 damage.
Yes,
if I hit it. It has no additional parry, right?
It has no additional parry.
Yeah, so then I do hit and deal 15 normal damage.
Let's go, Mornor, let's go.
All right. As you're like swinging your sword, like you swing up, you strike something, you bring your blade back, and it hits a stone on the ground. Because like you're basically laying on your back on the ground. Mm-hmm. So you swing your sword up, you feel it make contact, you swing your sword back, it strikes a stone, there's a flash of sparks. And in that moment, lit by the sparks, we have just a flash image of this moose reared back on 2 legs. As you bring the sword up again, and then the darkness falls again, but you feel the impact through the sword as you manage to hit this thing twice. 2 really solid hits in the darkness with that one moment of light.
On that final hit, the sword just briefly flashes like a pop or a firecracker or something. Flashes like molten white as some of the inner fire comes through, and it just... That gives us the flash image of it rearing back, but then it's gone again and back to pitch blackness.
Yeah. You think that this thing is probably pretty badly hurt because you feel a spray of something, some kind of liquid hit you as you're on the ground. You've managed to get some kind of something out of this thing. Kael.
In that moment where it flashes, can I kind of get the sense from just the positioning that, like, it's where it needs to be hit is not the head because of Nyonwe's arrow, but rather its core?
Yeah, definitely.
Then I don't know if this is something I can do, would be to spend a hope to make this happen. I want to let the sword guide me like it's seeking blood. Now that splatter has happened, and it can sense that a monster's blood has been spilled, that's a way that I could make the roll not ill-favored or to find it somehow.
I think that's totally valid, but there will be consequences for this.
I'm aware. So, I did roll a 10 on my d12, 25 total, and I have a 6, like a tangwar. So I think that is a piercing blow, right?
Yeah.
My injury rating, it says 18/20. Is the 20 for both hands?
I think it's...
The one on the left is the one-handed injury rating, and the one on the right is the two-handed injury rating.
Correct.
So you have to roll a 20. Because my weapon is fell. It's a fell blade.
Okay.
Sad to say, I rolled an Eye of Sauron, which is an automatic success.
Damn it. So close.
Well, that just means normal damage, huh?
Yeah, how much damage do you do?
6 is its normal.
Although you could spend the Tangwar to do heavy blow or something else.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Let's do that.
Yeah.
So 13 damage in that round.
Okay. Unlike when Morinor attacked, there's no flicker of light when you swing, but you allow the defenses in your mind to open just enough to let the sword guide your hand rather than you guide the sword. And it snaps out and finds this creature's flesh. The moose lets out a terrible bellowing scream as you make contact with it. And you feel the corruption of this thing's flesh drawn a little into the blade as well as you take a massive chunk out of its body. Hildy.
So, in the flash of the light, can I see where the moose is?
Yes.
Okay. Am I anywhere near the moose?
It's up to you. You've disappeared, so you can pretty much be anywhere.
Okay. Can I jump at the moose and try to hit it with my hammer? Can I fly through the air out of the tree I climbed?
Of course.
Wah! Can I do that with my hammer?
Yeah. Are you in defensive stance still?
Yeah, true. So maybe I'm not allowed to do that.
You can. You just take a -1 die to it.
I already have also a -1 die. So.
Yeah. That round has passed. You no longer have the minus. Like, you used that on your last roll. Like, the -1 d6 was last round.
Oh, it's not the whole encounter. It's just the next
round. Yeah, it's one round. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And don't forget, you can spend hope.
To get a point back. To get a d6 back. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll do that then. Okay, so I will be rolling 2 d6s because I have 1 in axes, and we're going to use axes for this, right?
Yes.
For the hammer. Okay, and then this guy. So, okay. All right, cool. Let's see how it goes. Then I'll describe it. Oh, okay. Well, so 15. Oh my gosh, 18. I met it. Holy fucking shit. This is amazing.
I'm imagining like a Hulk smash, but a Hobbit smash.
Right?
Yes.
So Hildy had climbed the tree quietly behind you and had been inching out during this dark period, like very carefully along the tree branch. And in the flash of the light, all of a sudden, I'm right above that stupid moose. I just want to drop down like a owlbear. Like on the top of his head, and just try to fall hammer first, and just see if I could give it just a little bit of a knock in the noggin.
All right. Well, it definitely hits. How much damage does it do?
4.
Okay. So you drop down onto this thing, and you feel the hammer strike. You feel the reverberation up through the handle into your arms. It makes your arms ache a little bit, and there is a definite sound of something cracking when you hit this creature. I am going to just make a roll here. That's not good.
For who?
So,
yeah,
Hildy,
for who?
You drop down from the tree. You're going to hit this thing, and you're just like, okay, I'll hit it. I'll roll off onto the ground. Everything will be fine.
Yeah, I got this.
Your hammer strikes the moose, and you're like, okay, now just roll off like water off a duck's back.
Yeah.
Just roll off. Roll away. And you don't roll away. You feel something grab you.
What?
And you can't see it, but your wide leather belt that you wear.
Oh, yeah. I love that thing.
Has snagged on the creature's antler.
Oh,
and you are
my chatelaine. My chatelaine.
You are stuck on top of the creature.
I'm entangled.
Oh. No. We have an hobbit.
I'm using the hammer one-handed because if you remember, my arm is hurt. So I think I just dropped the hammer in like surprise. So now I am riding atop this beast. I'm stuck.
I can't see any of this, can I?
The only thing that you can see is from that flash of light when Morinor hit. Hildy getting stuck on top happens after the flash.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I will say, the hammer drops from Hildy's hands and hits a stone on the ground. And as the metal hits the stone, there is one more little flash of light, just so that you all know that Hildy is stuck on top of this moose.
Okay.
This hobbit will be the death of me one way or another.
The duck of all of us, maybe.
Here's what I'm going to do. I am going to roll my prepare shot but I'm going to substitute song for scan because he's going to pray instead of scan because he literally can't see anything.
Uh-huh.
So you're sending thoughts and prayers? Is that what you're doing?
No, I'm...
No, I know.
A little bit. Yep. I'm sending an arrow with some prayers, so you better hope that this works. That's a success, so I'll get one extra die to hit.
Yep.
And then he's going to draw back, close his eyes, and listen for the bell. He's going to turn and draw back, and then just listen for the bell, and then release.
All right, give me the roll.
That is a success with two Tengwars.
Oh my god.
So, I believe that what that means is I can trigger a heavy blow, I guess. I can't trigger a piercing blow, because I don't think...
So the pierce...
I have to add two.
Special damage adds two for every Tengwar that you spend. So if you're within four, if your D12 is within four, you can target, you can pierce.
It's not. It's two.
Okay.
So... Instead, I will double heavy blow.
All right.
My strength is 5. That's going to be 13 damage.
Oh, my God. All right.
Please, God.
The bell rings, you loose the arrow, and you can't even see the hit, but you can hear the sound of the arrow sinking into the flesh of this creature. It lets out one more bellowing cry. This time, the voice weirdly modulated. You think maybe because of all of the damage that you guys have been doing to this thing, the body might not be holding up as well. Hildy, you're on top of this thing and you feel it begin to move. It begins to charge forward. You all hear the sounds of the hoofbeats. Alarina, give me your spears roll.
Ooh. Oh, just on target. 16, and I had a Tengwar.
How do you want to spend it?
Is it coming at me?
Yes, it's basically charging, maybe not directly at you, but close enough to you that your braced spear is definitely going to hit.
I think piercing blow.
Okay. You hear the moose bellow and it charges forward. You brace your, like you've been bracing your spear against the tree, holding it out, waiting for that charge. But rather than it coming directly at you, you feel it moving just to the side of the tree and you angle the spear just at the last moment and you feel the impact of the spear sinking into the body of the moose. Hildy, from on top of the moose, you feel it begin to charge forward, moving erratically, and then it stops momentarily. It jerks sideways, and there's a tearing sound from behind you. And then you feel the forward motion again as the creature begins to move. Now, not with the sort of rolling gait of like a horse, but with a weird sort of back and forth rocking motion as you move off into the darkness. Ellerina, you feel the spear sink in, and there is a sound of tearing and popping. And then a weight pulls the spear all the way down and drops it, like it wrenches the spear out of your hands.
Whoa.
You hear something moving out into the darkness away from the gully, and then silence falls in the darkness around all of you. Mornor, Neonway, Ellerina, and Kael, you are now out of combat. Hildy, we will get back to you momentarily.
Oh, no.
Is everyone all right?
Yes. Where's Hildy?
Mornor sets about striking up the fire again.
You spark and your torch catches. And as the flame begins to flicker out from the torch, you can see the scene around you. You have been spattered in this sort of black ichor from the creature. And there's gore and ichor all on the ground all around you. Ellerina, your back is still against the tree with the gouge where this thing's antler hit. And your spear is on the ground, embedded in the back haunch of the moose. It has torn itself in half, the rear end of it remaining there with you. But you can see from the trail of gore and hoof prints leading off through the snow into the darkness that the front half of it has fled the scene with Hildegard.
Oh my God.
Still attached.
Oh, what a mental picture.
Fucking hoodoo.
Can we see the front half?
Charlie, it can't be going that fast.
In the one, as you get the torch lit, you bring it out to try and see if you can find, and just for a very brief moment, Ellerina, your elf eyes see Hildegard, a look of confusion on her face, as half of a moose carries her away into the darkness. And that is where we will end this episode.
Half a moose is running away with my hobbit
Almost
I'm
go red.
Re-roll a new character.
I think there will be a good way to
trap you.
No, wait, that thing is not long.
All right.
You would have loved AO3.
Behind the world ahead, but sadly, this episode is over. This episode of Atherplay featured the talents of Nikki Boylan-Curry as Kyle Delore, Velvet Dracos as Morinor, Tori Owens as Ellerina, Steph Midlock as Hildegard Took, Jude Bass as Neonway, and James Kakakirsten as the Lore Master. Atherplay is edited by The Other Tracy. Find them at theothertracy.com. Sound design and additional production by James Kakakirsten. Follow the show on social media at @afterplay_cast and at afterplay.afterbeth.com on Blue Sky. Afterplay's theme song is A Hero Rises, composed and performed for the show by Sunglasses Kid, who can be found at sunglasseskid.co.uk. This episode features additional music and sound effects from Soundstripe at soundstripe.com and Epidemic Sound at epidemicsound.com. Track details can be found in the show notes. Soundscapes courtesy of Tabletop Audio at tabletopaudio.com. Thank you for listening, and remember to be you. Atherplay is a production of the Atherbeth Podcast Network.